Well, hey everybody, welcome to our online service, and I'm so glad to welcome you to our gathering this week. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, and I'm so glad you've decided to make this service a part of your day whenever you might be doing that. Hey, so today the service is going to be a little different than it is normally. We're actually going to share a message with you that I shared back in September of 2024. It's about how to deal with grudges in our lives. And we thought it'd be helpful to share this message again because there's a call in there to be a person of integrity and faith that I think we need right now. So we hope you'll enjoy this message and that it'll be a blessing to you. And the reality of life is that many of us have grudges between us and other people that we really need to work on and get rid of in our lives. And we're gonna explore what that looks like for all of us. So if you've ever had that persistent feeling of ill will or anger towards someone because they injured you, insulted you, or hurt you, then you have had a grudge held towards someone in your life. Now, you might not think of yourself as someone who holds grudges, but if you've had that persistent feeling of ill will or anger towards someone over an extended period of time, then you may have held a grudge towards someone. Or even as I say this, you might think of yourself, yeah, I have held a grudge, or at least you know somebody who has held a grudge. And grudges are not good things in our lives. Grudges are part of the gap between us and the people that we might care about in our lives, and we want to do something about that so we don't have that gap between us and them anymore. So when we think about grudges, we need to understand that this is something that God wants us to deal with and something that Jesus teaches us how to deal with as well. When we have the grudges in our lives, we have a responsibility in the sense that there's a relationship between us and the other people to do something about them. Now, let me be clear about something. When we have been hurt or offended or abused or deeply wounded by somebody, that can lead to a sense of holding a grudge or anger or resentment towards them. And when you deal with that kind of a situation, there's a whole pathway that you need to go to. You do not need to put yourself back in harm's way. You need to find your way forward in a different way. But many of us, when we think about the grudges we hold, it's because somebody has offended us because they said something mean, they've been rude, they've been offending our politics, they've offended our personal sensibilities about something, they've offended our opinion about something. And when that's the kind of a situation, we really need to let go of those kinds of situations and grudges so that we can move forward in our relationship with those people. So if you find yourself in a place where you have a grudge towards maybe your spouse, maybe your parents, maybe towards a sibling, towards a cousin, a family member, a coworker, a boss, a pastor even, maybe then you need to ask yourself, what can I do to budge on the grudge so I can move forward? Now, when we get our sense of this kind of a bearing on the grudges that we can work towards removing in our lives, it means we need to then seek to be bringing forgiveness into the situation that we're in. Now, forgiveness is a keystone part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We want to bring that forgiveness that God asks us to have, calls us to have, into our relationships. Now, when we're in a situation where we need to forgive someone, or when we need to be forgiven, we need to remember what Jesus teaches about this, and that forgiveness is not a one-time activity or a one-time move that we make towards someone in our lives. There's a particular time where Jesus is teaching about what it looks like to give forgiveness in our lives. And one of his followers asks Jesus, how many times must I forgive someone if they've wronged me to get into the right? Or maybe think about how many times should they forgive me so that they have made it right? And he says, is seven times enough? Now, the reason the person suggested seven is that in the scriptures, both old and new, the number seven is seen as the perfect and the holy number. It comes rooted in the Genesis teaching about creation, that God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And if God does something, then it's holy. And resting in seventh day, per the metaphor in Genesis, means that seven is the perfect number. So what this guy is saying to Jesus is giving forgiveness seven times going to reach to perfect forgiveness? And Jesus says, no, that's not enough. He says, actually, 77 times, or as another translation puts it, 70 times 7, which is 490 times, that's how many times you have to forgive if you really want to extend the forgiveness that God wants us to have in our lives. Which means that forgiveness is a process. It means forgiveness takes many times of attempting to find our way forward before we're gonna really get there. And this might be especially true when we find ourselves in the situation related to a grudge that we have. Now, when we have a grudge where we need to bring forgiveness into the situation, we have to remember that there is a dynamic here that often it's the result of a rupture between two people. You have the person on the one side who has done the offense, done the injury, done the insult towards you, perhaps. Or maybe you're that person, but let's just say that you're the person who is holding the grudge because you've been offended. That means that that person needs to ask you for forgiveness for their action. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to extend that forgiveness if it's a safe place to do so. But if you're the person who's been offended, and you're holding on to the ill will and the resentment over a situation that you can move past on, then you should move past on, then you have the calling to bring forgiveness into your sense of the ill will and resentment. Now, what this means is that you might have to go to somebody and say, you know, I've been holding a sense of resentment against you for this reason, and I'm sorry for resenting you. I'm sorry for holding that ill will against you. And would you please forgive me for doing that? Now, they might not even know about the situation. They might be surprised by your action towards them. Or by going first, you might inspire them to then ask for your forgiveness for the situation at large. You also might realize that you've been holding on to an ill will or a resentment towards someone for something that you should not have been doing that for in the first place. That you were wrong to hold the grudge as you look back on that situation. And we're going to look more about that in the weeks to come. But the reality is, when you find yourself in the situation, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you go first. You own your part of the grudge, and you ask for forgiveness of the person for the ill will and the resentment. This is the way that God wants us to live. This is the moral code. This is the way of living towards one another that God expects of us. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're just trying to be a good person, then it's highly recommended that you do this. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if you're someone who believes God is calling you to the best standard, this is the way God wants us to live. God wants us to get rid of these grudges in our lives, because grudges are the rupture between people that we can deal with. And we want to make sure we're removing them in our lives. Now, as you've been hopefully thinking about and pondering, if there's a grudge that I'm holding on to that I need to let go of, then you want to ask yourself, how can I be the one who lets go of the anger, the resentment, and that ill will? How can I be the person who goes first, because God is calling you to go first? And when you are willing to do that, you will let go of the power of that grudge in your life. You will tell that grudge, you will tell that situation that it no longer controls you, and it will help you move forward as God wants you to move forward. When we do this, we are willing to be reconciled to the people in our lives, which is what God wants the most for us, to have the best kind of healthy and faithful relationships that there is out there. And when you do that, you bring more love into the world like God wants. So remember, these grudges are real. These grudges hold us back. And as we explore more and more what this looks like, God wants us to deal with them so they're not holding us in the past, but letting us move into the future with better and more healthy relationships with the people we care about most. Well, we hope that message was a gift to you. And as we wrap up our time together, I'd like to ask you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you are with us at all times, and we give you thanks that you are with us right now. And as we think about what it means to deal with the grudges in our lives, we pray that you really help us deal with those grudges. Why we have them, what they are, we bring them to you, and we ask that you help us to deal with them. God, we are living in tumultuous times, and we are living in complicated times. There are people who are in great fear for their safety. There are people that are wondering what is happening in our country and whether grudges come from these situations or from others. We need you to be in the midst of all of that. God, we ask that you help us to do our part to help people feel safe and secure, knowing that you love them and that we are for them as well. We pray all this in your name. Amen.